Hi, this is Lila Downs. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, globally on kpfk.org.
Si porque te quiero, quieres llorona que yo.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Civil rights icon, the Reverend James Lawson, died on June 10th, 2024 in Los Angeles, California. A young James Lawson studied nonviolent civil disobedience while in India. After he returned to the United States, he became involved in the civil rights movement. James Lawson trained the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King in nonviolent civil disobedience, as well as scores of civil rights activists over the decades, including the late Congressman John Lewis. It is said that Dr. King referred to Reverend Lawson as the leading theorist in the United States. Reverend Lawson served as a key figure in the civil rights era. He was thrown out of Vanderbilt University's graduate school for leading sit-in protests in Nashville. He survived scores of beatings by mobs, as well as scores of arrests and imprisonments. But he remained steadfast. He never gave up. Let us go now to a clip of James Lawson explaining his views on nonviolent civil disobedience. It is from an interview he gave at Vanderbilt University decades after the university threw him out for his activism. Let's go to that clip now.
So what Gandhi, I think, was insisting upon is that nonviolence is an ancient wisdom, though the term was never used until the 20th century, and he used it, and that it is always connected to strategies and blueprints for change, both in your own life, in the life of your family and your immediate community, and then in the kind of community that you develop, that's the extended family, and then in struggle to make changes. In practicing that, I discovered that this was not powerlessness. I discovered by my high school days, I recognized that following that way was a wonderful power of resistance. It transformed my thinking about myself and about life, but it also gave me a sense of strength. It made me courageous. It made me as a stronger boy. So when I heard Christians in college in 1947 talking about love is non-coercive, I had no idea what they meant. When I heard pacifists talking about, love is not militant, I rejected all of that. And that's when I began to read Gandhi for myself, 1947, and I recognized that Gandhi in South Africa rejected pacifism, rejected passive resistance, non-resistance, all of that stuff, which were Christian terms. Those are church history terms. Gandhi rejected all of those because what he was experimenting with, that he first called nonviolence, ahimsa, and then satyagraha, was powerful. It exercised power, but it exercised power in the ancient way in which Aristotle, the Greek philosopher and all, said power is the capacity to accomplish purpose. And so I've come to the conclusion out of all of that as an adult that life itself is powerful, and that the gift of life is a gift of power.
The gift of life is a gift of power. The words of the Reverend James Lawson, who died on June 10th, 2024 in Los Angeles. Today, we will remember James Lawson by playing for you his own words. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
For Pacific Radio, I'm Scott Baba. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken returned to the Middle East today as a proposed Israel-Hamas ceasefire deal hangs in the balance after the dramatic rescue of four Israeli hostages held in Gaza in a major military raid and turmoil in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government. With no firm response yet from Hamas to the proposal received 10 days ago, Blinken started his eighth visit to the region since the conflict began in October. He met with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi in Cairo, but neither made public remarks. Blinken will also travel to Israel, Jordan, and Qatar. While President Joe Biden, Blinken, and other U.S. officials have praised the hostage rescue, the operation resulted in the deaths of over 250 Palestinian civilians and may complicate the ceasefire push by emboldening Israel and hardening Hamas's resolve to carry on fighting in the war it initiated with its October 7th attack on Israel. Meanwhile, Benny Gantz, a centrist member of Israel's three-man war cabinet, has announced his resignation, accusing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of mismanaging the war effort and putting his own political survival over the country's security needs. The move does not immediately pose a threat to Netanyahu, who still controls a majority coalition in parliament, but he becomes more heavily reliant on far-right allies, who oppose the latest U.S.-backed ceasefire proposal and want to press ahead with the war. Gantz joined Netanyahu's government shortly after the October 7th attack. His presence boosted Israel's credibility with its international partners. Gantz had previously said he would leave the government by June 8th if Netanyahu didn't formulate a plan for post-war Gaza. Far-right parties in the European Union made major gains in parliamentary seats over the weekend, dealing an especially humiliating defeat to French President Emmanuel Macron, who called snap legislative elections. In response, some ballots in the vote for the European Parliament were still being counted today, but the outcome showed the 27-nation bloc's parliament membership has clearly shifted to the right. The Christian Democrats of EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen remained by far the biggest group and de facto brokers of the ever-expanding powers of the legislature, but the surge by nationalist and populist parties will make it much harder for the Assembly to approve legislation on issues ranging from climate change to agricultural policy. Charles de Ledesma reports.
Far-right parties are making big gains in the European Parliament in election results that are rattling the traditional powers. Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni's far-right party won European elections in Italy with a sound 29% of votes, boosting her leadership at home and consolidating her kingmaker role in Europe. Meloni tells supporters her Brothers of Italy party has confirmed its status as the country's most popular party. Meanwhile, in Germany, unpopular governing parties sank to feeble results, and the far-right Alternative for Germany made gains. The mainstream conservative opposition was the country's strongest political force by a distance, projections showed. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Switzerland's President Viola Amherd said nearly 90 countries and organizations, half from Europe, have confirmed they will be attending a Swiss-hosted Ukraine peace summit. However, Russia won't be there. Amherd told reporters today that the summit will aim to chart a path towards possible peace nearly 28 months after Russian forces invaded Ukraine. The Swiss president said most participants would be top country leaders and a handful from organizations like the United Nations. French President Emmanuel Macron, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, and U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris are expected to attend. Moscow has not been invited to the conference, but said it would not have attended anyways, as the conference is based on the peace proposals of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky that Russia rejects. Narendra Modi meets his new cabinet today, a day after he was sworn in as India's prime minister for the third time. His party has not secured a majority in the elections, raising questions about the stability of his government. Neha Punia reports from New Delhi.
His allies have been given five cabinet berths. That's one berth for each of his regional allies. But there are already rumblings about the key positions having gone to the BJP, that's Mr. Modi's party's own ministers. They've seemingly retained the portfolios of finance, home, defense, as well as external affairs. And some allies have said they will wait for Mr. Modi to take remedial measures. So it's unclear, you know, what sort of wrangling will continue and what other sort of concessions will Mr. Modi have to make.
And that was Neha Punia. The criminal trial of President Joe Biden's son is heading into its final stretch as the defense tries to chip away at the prosecution's case, laying bare some of the darkest moments of Hunter Biden's drug-fueled past. Hunter Biden's lawyers could call at least one more witness when the case resumes today in Delaware's federal court. It's the first of two trials Hunter Biden faces in the midst of his father's re-election campaign. Hunter Biden is charged with three felonies stemming from the 2018 purchase of a gun he had for about 11 days. Prosecutors say he lied on a mandatory gun purchase form by saying he was not illegally using or addicted to drugs. For Pacifica Radio, I'm Scott Baba.
Those were our news headlines, and welcome back to Sojourner Truth. This is your host, Margaret Prescott, civil rights icon. The Reverend James Lawson has died on June 10th, 2024 in Los Angeles. Today, we honor his memory and his legacy. According to the New York Times, James Lawson was born in Uniontown, Pennsylvania on September 22nd, 1928. He was one of 10 children, his mom, a seamstress, his dad, one of the first Black students to graduate from Montreal's McGill University. His father then served as minister in the African Methodist Episcopal Church in Ohio. After undergraduate school, James Lawson attended Oberlin College, where he studied theology. It was while he was at Oberlin that he met the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. He moved to Nashville, Tennessee, where he joined King's organization, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He later helped to found the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, known as SNCC. He married Dorothy Wood, and they had three sons together. He moved to Los Angeles in 1974, and for 25 years served as pastor of Holman United Methodist Church. He never gave up his civil rights work, which was expanded to include immigrants and LGBTQ rights. He continued throughout his life to mentor and train young activists. Reverend Lawson was one of the speakers at the funeral of the late John Lewis. He spoke at Ebenezer Baptist Church. Today, we are going to share his words with you. But please know that this station is in fund drive. So throughout the hour, to support this show, Sojourner Truth, and this station, KPFK, and all the Pacifica stations, please call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. And to thank you for your support of KPFK and Pacifica Radio, we are happy to send a gift to those of you who pledge your support. We will send you the DVD, John Lewis, Get in the Way. Again, that number is 818-985-5735. But let us go now to hear from the Reverend James Lawson speaking at the funeral of the late Congressman and civil rights icon, John Lewis.
Pastor, sisters and brothers, members of this Lewis family that so wonderfully nurtured John in love, hope and courage and faith and the rest of it. And sisters and brothers, Czesław Mieloza, a Polish Catholic poet, sets the tone, at least in part for me, is John Lewis has journeyed from the eternity of this extraordinary, mysterious human race into the eternity that none of us know very much about. When he wrote this poem called Meaning, when I die, I will see the lining of the world, the other side, beyond bird, mountain, sunset, the true meaning ready to be decoded. What never added up will now add up. What was incomprehensible will become comprehended. And if there is no lining to the world, if a thrush on a branch is not a sign, but just a thrush on a branch, if night and day make no sense following each other, and on this earth there is nothing but the earth, even if that is so, there will remain a word wakened by the lips that perish, a tireless messenger who runs and runs through interstellar places, through revolving galaxies, and calls out and protests and screams. And I submit that John in that other eternity will be heard by us again and again, running through the galaxies, still proclaiming that we, the people of the USA, can one day live up to the full meaning of we hold these truths. Live up to the full meaning, we, the people of the USA, in order to perfect a more perfect union. John Lewis practiced not the politics that we call bipartisan. John Lewis practiced the politics that we, the people of the U.S., need more desperately than ever before, the politics of the Declaration of Independence, the politics of the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. I've read many of the so-called civil rights books of the last 50 or 60 years about the period between 1953 and 1973. Most of the books are wrong about John Lewis. Most of the books are wrong about how John got engaged in the national campaign of 1959-60. This is the 60th year of the sit-in campaign, which swept into every state of the Union, largely manned by students because we recruited students, but put upon the map that the nonviolent struggle begun in Montgomery, Alabama, was not an accident, but as Martin King Jr. called it, Christian love has power that we have never tapped. And if we use it, we can transform not only our own lives, but we will transform the earth in which we live.
All righty. And the words of now the late James Lawson as he spoke at the funeral of John Lewis. Today we are remembering and uplifting John Lewis, who really gave his life to the civil rights movement. He gave his life to training not only the Reverend Dr. King and John Lewis before he became a U.S. congressman and was an activist with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And of course, the Reverend James Lawson Jr. Died on Sunday, June the 9th. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, lifting up the voice of Reverend Lawson. Now, I didn't meet James Lawson during the civil rights era. My cousin, Martha Prescott, now Martha Prescott Noonan, who was in SNCC, she did. John Lewis helped to lead the Freedom Riders and so many other high points of the civil rights era. But I met Reverend Lawson in Los Angeles while he was the pastor at Holman United Methodist Church, a church very much a high point of civil rights activism. And we are in Fund Drive for this station. And I want to remind you of just the important work, the voices like Reverend Lawson, the memorials that we try to do. This memorial for Reverend Lawson is by our show is actually happening during our fund drive. So my apologies for having to interrupt the words of Reverend Lawson, but we are going to be hearing a lot more from him. But please remember how important alternative radio is to you, how important non-commercial radio is to you, how important Sojourner Truth is to you. Right now, I am a volunteer programmer since I am no longer full-time at KPFK, and I'm really happy to do so because I definitely believe in the mission of Pacifica, Pacifica meaning peace. So we hope that throughout this hour, you will call us at 818-985-5735 and pledge your support for KPFK, pledge your support for Sojourner Truth. We'll very much appreciate that. I want to quickly now move back to hear more from the Reverend James Lawson, but I would like to suggest you can pledge at any level, of course. You may want to pledge at the $120 level. And by the way, you're pledging to support this station. It's not about getting a gift, but we do like to gift those of you who pledge your support. And for today's show, as a thank you gift, you will get John Lewis Get in the Way DVD. Again, that number is 818-985-5735. But what I would like to do now is to go back for you to hear more of the inspiring words, the message, the teaching of the Reverend James Lawson, even as he memorialized his friend, his student, of the late Congressman John Lewis. Let us go to that clip right now.
I count it providential that as I moved to Nashville, Tennessee, dropping out of graduate school, in Nashville came people like Kelly Miller Smith and Andrew White and Janetta Hayes and Helen Roberts and Dolores Wilkerson and John Lewis, and Diane Nash, C.T. Vivian, Marion Barry, Jim Bevel, Bernard Lafayette, Paulina Knight, Angela Butler. How all of us gathered in 1958 and 59 and 60 and 61 and 62 in the same city at the same time, I count as being providential. We did not plan it. We were all led there. And when Kelly Miller Smith and the Nashville Christian Leadership Council met in the fall of 1958, and we determined that if there's to be a second major campaign that will demonstrate the efficacy of satyagraha, of soul force, of love truth, that we would have to do it in Nashville. And so I planned, as the strategist and organizer, a four-point Gandhian strategic program to create the campaign. We decided with great fear and anticipation we would desegregate downtown Nashville.
no group of black people or other people anywhere in the United States in the 20th century against the rapaciousness of a segregated system ever thought about desegregating downtown, tearing down the signs, renovating the waiting rooms, taking the immoral signs off of drinking fountains. But it was black women who made that decision for us in Nashville. I was scared to death when we made that decision. I knew nothing about how we were going to do this. I had never done it before. But we planned the strategy. John Lewis did not stumble in on that campaign. Kelly Miller Smith, his teacher at ABC, invited John to join the workshops in the fall of 1959 as we prepared ourselves to face violence and to do direct action and to put on the map the issue that the racism and the segregation of the nation had to end. And so in the 60th anniversary of that sit-in campaign, which became the second major campaign of the nonviolent movement of America, those are not my words. John Lewis called what we did between 1953 and 1973 the nonviolent movement of America, not the CRM. I think we need to get the story straight because words are powerful. History must be written in such a fashion that it lifts up truly the spirit of the John Lewises of the world.
Lift up the spirit of the John Lewises of the world. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, and the world, the nation and the world has lost the Reverend James Lawson. He died on June the 10th, 2024. And I'll have to say, it really is an honor for me not only to be sharing with you the words of John Lewis, but of Reverend Lawson, but of Reverend Lawson memorializing his student, John Lewis. So we are really hearing about the late icon, civil rights icon, John Lewis, who was trained by Reverend Lawson. And we're hearing Reverend Lawson talk about John Lewis. And again, this is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. And, you know, Reverend Lawson, he never really stopped. I mean, 25 years at Holman United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. And after that, he never slowed down. He became a visiting professor at Vanderbilt. He was always mentoring young people. And he continued to lead workshops on nonviolence for protesters. He did that during the civil rights era, and he continued to do that. And I could tell you, I've seen some of the video of some of those trainings. And I also heard from my cousin Martha Prescott, who was in SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. They were not for the faint-hearted. A lot of people think that, well, nonviolent civil disobedience, it's just not militant enough. You know, you really, have to get a bit more militant, but it is really, truly very, very hard. I mean, volunteers had to be trained and to expect to be beat, to be spit on, to be called all kinds of names, to have, you know, their jaws broken. They had to know the way out of town. They had to know where safe houses were. They had to know what number to call when they were running into trouble. All of this, James Lawson took the time to really train a whole era of campaigners, a whole era of activists, who the level of violence they face. We talk about the violence now, and we know about George Floyd, all of the people killed by the police, the children killed by the police. But we cannot forget those civil rights martyrs, really, and those who were beat by mobs, those who were thrown in jail, those who were spit on for the rights that we are, well, we're fighting to keep them today because our civil rights, our voting rights, very much under attack. And Reverend Lawson was painfully aware of all of that. But he gave his life. He gave his heart for what he believed in. And that was the strength and the effectiveness of nonviolent disobedience, civil disobedience. And of course, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King agreed with him. In 1960, James Lawson was thrown out of Vanderbilt University. He was a graduate student in the Divinity School, but he was also leading sit-ins in Nashville, Tennessee. And you just heard in that clip, Reverend Lawson talking about Nashville and how nobody thought about desegregating downtown. And he did it. He and so many young people who participated in those sit-ins. So we are lifting up the Reverend James Lawson today, and we are sharing with you the words of Reverend Lawson speaking about his student, who the late, also a civil rights icon, John Lewis. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, and I want to remind you that we are in Fund a Drive. We need to raise funds for this station, for KPFK and other Pacifica stations. We want you to call throughout this hour at 818-985-5735. And you know why? Because Pacifica, founded back in 1949, there is no other radio network that I know of just like Pacifica. We are listener sponsored. We want to remain for as long as we can to be listener sponsored. But that means we need your support, and we need your support because we want you to show your appreciation for KPFK, for all of the shows, not only Sojourner Truth, but all of the shows you're hearing 24/7. So many of our programmers, of our hosts are volunteer. We have a skeleton staff. So we really need your support. If you could pledge at $120 level or a dollar a day level, $365, please put it on a credit card, use a bank transfer. But whatever you do, a pledge at any level, give a love pledge, $25, become a member of KPFK. Call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. And for those of you who call and pledge your support, we will thank you. We will send a thank you gift of a DVD about John Lewis. John Lewis, Get in the Way. Again, that number is 818-985-5735. But I quickly now want to move on. I want you to hear as much of the words, the inspiring words of the Reverend James Lawson as possible. So I'd like now to go on to another clip of Reverend Lawson speaking at the funeral of the late great civil rights icon, John Lewis. Let's go to that clip now.
And that's why I've chosen just to say a few words about it. Kelly Miller Smith invited John Lewis. I met a Fisk student who told me about a student from Chicago who wanted to do something about those vicious signs. I said, invite Diane Nash to the workshop in September because we're going to do something about those signs. I pushed this hard. Now, John Lewis had no choice in the matter. You should understand that, because all the stories we've heard this morning of John becoming a preacher, preaching to the chickens and other sorts of things, becoming ordained as a Baptist minister. Something else was happening to John in those early years. John saw the malignancy of racism in Troy, Alabama. There formed in him a sensibility that he had to do something about it. He did not know what that was, but he was convinced that he was called indeed to do whatever he could do, get in good trouble, but stop the horror that so many folk lived through and in this country in that part of the 20th century. John was not alone. Martin King had the same experience as a boy. I had the same experience from age 4 in the streets of Massillon, Ohio. Matthew McCullough, a pastor whose name you don't know in South Carolina, had the same experience. C.T. Vivian had the same experience. I maintain that many of us had no choice to do what we tried to do, primarily because at an early age we recognized the wrong under which we were forced to live, and we swore to God that by God's grace we would do whatever God called us to do in order to put on the table of the nation's agenda. This must end. Black lives matter. And so between 1953 and 1973, we had major campaigns year after year. Thousands of demonstrations across the nation that supported it. We had folk in the Congress, folk in the White House, folks scattered across the United States who were beginning to formulate what the solutions are for change. The media makes a mistake when John is seen only in relationship to the Voting Rights Bill of 65. However important that is, you must not remember that in the 60s, Lyndon Johnson and the Congress of the United States passed the most advanced legislation on behalf of we, the people of the United States, that was ever passed. Head Start. Billions of dollars for housing. We would not be in the struggle we are today in housing if President Reagan hadn't cut that billions of dollars for housing, where local churches and local nonprofits could build affordable housing in their own communities, being sustained and financed by loans from the federal government. We passed Medicare. We passed anti-poverty programs, Civil Rights Bill 64, 65, voting rights bills, a whole array. John Lewis must be understood as one of the leaders of the greatest advance of Congress and the White House on behalf of we, the people of the USA. We do not need bipartisan politics if we're going to celebrate the life of John Lewis. We need the Constitution to come alive. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We need the Congress and the presidents to work unfaltering on behalf of every boy and every girl, so that every baby born on these shores will have access to the tree of life. That's the only way to honor John Robert Lewis.
No other way. And I'd like to add that that is the only way to also honor now the late great Reverend James Lawson. That was him memorializing, speaking at the funeral of his student, his friend, his colleague, the late Congressman John Lewis. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. And, you know, John Lewis and James Lawson were both arrested so many times. One of the things that we assume that James Lawson was arrested. He led a lot of sit-ins. He was involved in organizing Freedom Summer. He was training students all the time for nonviolent civil disobedience. He was beat down so many times. But what we sometimes forget about Reverend Lawson was his anti-war, principled anti-war position. In fact, he spent over a year in prison for refusing to be drafted, refusing to register for the draft. This, of course, was during the Korean War. Okay. And he was a student at the time, but that tells you a lot about who James Lawson was. He didn't just speak the words. He walked the talk. So imagine that 13 months altogether in prison for refusing to go fight in the Korean War, before refusing to fight in war. And that was just one of the, I don't know how many times James Lawson was arrested. I hope after Fund Drive is over, we could speak to his son, who could fill us in so much. We also want, of course, to express our sympathy to his widow, his children, all of the family members, all of his students, those who worked with and loved James Lawson. Again, we lost him on Sunday, June the 9th, 2024. And this is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. I want to share with you a bit more about James Lawson, but I also want to remind you that this station is in Fund Drive. And I want you to just give some thought to those of you who are listening right now of the value over the years of this station from 1949 until now. Pacifica has been on the air. Just about every movement that came around, including the civil rights era, including Martin Luther King speaking, including James Lawson speaking, including from the Black Panther Party to so many others, to the arts, to Lena Horne, to Miriam Makeba. I mean, so many voices have been captured and by Pacifica Radio, has been maintained by Pacifica Radio. It is unique. It is unique in these United States. So I'm asking all of you to call right now, 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. And show your appreciation for this amazing little engine that could, Pacifica Radio, going since 1949 and still going strong. And each and every one of us could play a role in making it stronger. Again, that number is 818-985-5735. You can also go to kpfk.org. And I really want to lift up the entire team at KPFK and all of the Pacifica stations. For so many of us, this work is really a cause. We're not getting wealthy, you know, with our involvement like Pacifica Radio. In fact, the majority of the hosts and volunteer hosts and producers on KPFK, as well as other Pacifica stations, are volunteers. We're doing it because we believe in this station, because we believe in public radio, because we believe in the option to bring you the voices of the Reverend James Lawson, to bring you the voice. He has been on these airwaves. James Lawson, Reverend Lawson has, to bring you the voices of John Lewis, the late John Lewis, of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, of Stokely Carmichael, in contrast to King, now known as Kwame Ture, of Malcolm X, and so many others. And also show your support for this show, for Sojourner Truth. You know, we really work very hard with a skeleton team. I want to lift up Jose Benavides for his work coming in and really helping this show so that we could bring you the kinds of shows that we do. We try to do a lot on very, very little. And we do appreciate your support. 818-985-5735. Those of you, we suggest, by the way, if you can pledge at the $120 level, it's a very popular pledge level. If you pledge at the $365 level, those of you who could pledge at the $1,000 level, at the $500 level, and if you say, well, you know what, I'm not going to send you, you don't need to send me any thanks. I just want to donate to you. And you could get some of that as a tax deduction. Isn't that wonderful? 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. And today, although we are in Fund Drive, I couldn't let this day pass, this moment pass, knowing that we lost the Reverend, the civil rights icon, the Reverend James Lawson. Without honoring him, without lifting up his words, without honoring, in fact, that whole generation of people that worked so hard to get the Voting Rights Act, to get the Civil Rights Act, to desegregate the buses, to desegregate the lunch counters. And yes, we know that there is a counter revolution going on right now. And so many of you listening right now are really trying to hold on to the rights that people like James Lawson fought for, was beat for, was put in jail for. John Lewis, similarly. And, you know, it was actually James Lawson who invited the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King into Memphis for the support of the sanitation workers there who were on strike. And, of course, the tragedy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King on April 4th being shot down in Memphis. But we bring you this information. We're happy to do it. And we are very, very glad if you could call us at 818-985-5735 and show your support for this station. And by the way, we're glad, happy to send you a thank you gift of the DVD, John Lewis, Get in the Way. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. What I'd like to do now, I really want you to hear more of the voice of John Lewis. So I want to go on to for you to hear more of the words of James Lawson. But please call us at 818-985-5735 and show your support for this amazing alternative radio station, for KPFK, for Pacifica, that is really fighting on against all odds. 818-985-5735. And let us go now to hear more of the words of the Reverend James Lawson. Powerful words as he memorialized his friend, his student, his colleague, the person who spent time with him in jail. I don't know how many times they were in jail together. He was memorializing John Lewis. So, but let us go now to hear more powerful words from now the late, great James Lawson.
Let all of us in this service today, let all the people of the USA determine that we will not be quiet as long as any child dies in the first year of life in the United States. We will not be quiet as long as the largest poverty group in our nation are women and children. We will not be quiet as long as our nation continues to be the most violent culture in the history of humankind. We will not be quiet as long as our economy is shaped not by freedom, but by plantation capitalism that continues to cause domination and control rather than access and liberty and equality for all. The forces of spiritual wickedness are strong in our land because of our history. We have not created them. John Lewis did not create them. We inherited them. But it's our task to see those spiritual forces. I've named them racism, sexism, violence, plantation capitalism. Those poisons still dominate far too many of us in many different ways. John's life was a singular journey from birth through the campaigns in the South and through Congress to get us to see that these forces of wickedness must be resisted. Do not let our own hearts drink any of that poison. Instead, drink the truth of the life force. If we would honor and celebrate John Lewis's life, let us then recommit our souls, our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our strength to the continuing journey to dismantle the wrong in our midst and to allow a space for the new earth and new heaven to emerge. I close with this poem from Langston Hughes, which is a kind of a sign and symbol of what John Lewis represents and what we too can represent in our continuing journey. Langston Hughes, I dream a world where no human, no other human will scorn, where love will bless the earth and peace its paths adorn. I dream a dream where all will know sweet freedom's way, where greed no longer saps the soul, nor avarice blights our day. A world I dream where black and white and yellow and blue and green and red and brown, whatever your race may be, we'll share the bounties of the earth. And every woman and man and boy and girl is free. Where wretchedness hangs its head and joy, like a pearl, attends the need of all humankind. Such of such a world I dream. Celebrate life, dream and labor for an Atlanta and Los Angeles and the United States and a world that is to celebrate the spirit and the heart and the mind and soul of John Lewis, and to walk with him through the galaxies, seeking equality, liberty, justice, and the beloved community for all.
Seeking equality, liberty, justice, beloved community for all. That beautiful Langston Hughes poem was the way the Reverend James Lawson wrapped up his incredible memorial speech, eulogizing his friend, his colleague, the late, great John Lewis. And those of you who are just joining us, please know that the Reverend James Lawson died on June the 9th in Los Angeles, June 9th, 2024, a historic day there. And just what a beautiful tribute. And in the way that Reverend Lawson spoke about walking the galaxy with John Lewis, I would like to think that Reverend Lawson, who has now himself become a revered ancestor, that he will be walking the galaxy with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, with Malcolm X, with the three civil rights workers who were killed during a Freedom Summer. So many of our elders that have now moved on. And it's so important for us to pay attention to them, to pay attention to their words, to pay attention to the commitment that they gave to human rights, to ending segregation, to ending racism, to ending economic inequality. And John, you heard Reverend Lawson talking about no children should be hungry. And he also spoke quite a bit about women. He said, for example, going back when he was talking about his youth, when they were doing the sit-ins in Nashville, Tennessee, that it was the women in the organization who pushed this strategy, who pushed them to do those sit-ins. He said he was terrified. He was afraid. So there's nothing wrong with being afraid in the face of such enormous power. And to know that our ancestors are walking with us now. James Lawson has joined John Lewis, has joined the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, has joined Chairman Fred Hampton, who was assassinated in Chicago. We know now by the FBI. I mean, you know, James Lawson, he was aware of all of this, and he really loved and respected young people. He really wanted to spend as much of his time as possible. And this wasn't only during the civil rights era, but after he retired from Holman United Methodist Church, and after he was, you know, he was 95 years old when he died. But, you know, he continued to do that work to the degree that he could. And so we are lifting up the late, great Reverend James Lawson today. But I also must remind you that we do need to raise some money for this station. This station, KPFK, is in fund drive. And I'm asking each and every one of you to call 818-985-5735 and pledge your support for Sojourner Truth, for this show. Pledge your support for all of the shows that you hear on this amazing radio station, part of the Pacifica Radio Network that has survived since 1949. So many people predicted that KPFK, this model of listener-sponsored radio, couldn't survive, but it has for decades now. And we want to thank each and every one of you for your support for this station, for listening to this show, for your encouragement of me, Margaret Prescott, your host, over so many years. We work really hard. We try to do our best on very little. We operate on what you would call the widow's mite, so to speak. And that just refers, you know, to having very little, but really trying to do so much. As Tupac, the late Tupac Shakur would say, trying to make a dollar out of 50 cents. You know, that's what we have to do here at KPFK, at all of our Pacifica stations. Again, the number to call is 818-985-5735. I'm just a few minutes from the top of the hour, and I want to make sure that you have this number, 818-985-5735, and that you remember to call us. You could also go online to kpfk.org and pledge your support there. And pledge because you love this station. Pledge because, as John Lewis said, we need to know the truth. We want to know the truth of what's going on. And he says, we can't be silent. We can't be silent as long as a child is hungry, as long as any of us are not free. James Lawson talked about plantation capitalism and, you know, about don't drink the poison of hate. And he talks about love as a force to move it. He talks about nonviolence